Turn with me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 1. The scripture declares, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Two times in this verse of scripture we're told that except the Lord. Except he build, except he keep. And two times we're told of the results of all the desires of men without him. Vain. Empty. Worthless. Labor, toil, except the Lord build, everything that we would even seek to do, nothing. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, that is, they watch. I've tried to prepare a message here. I've entitled it, The Exceptions to Entering the Kingdom of God. I've gone over these scriptures. I've prayed. I've asked God's blessing on it. And I know this. Unless the Lord blesses it, it's just words. Almighty God has declared that there is a house. There's a house of His pleasure, a house of mercy, a house that must be built according to God's will and God's power and God's purpose. It's declared to be a city, except the Lord build the house, except the Lord keep the city. Except Almighty God build it and keep it. It and its results will be worthless. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. The house of the Lord, the city of our God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, His building. He's going to build it. He's going to keep it. One way, through the preaching of the gospel of God's sovereign grace, of God's mercy, God's will, God's covenant, His decision to show mercy. If God doesn't do it, let me tell you what everything is going to come to that's not built by Almighty God through God's means. He's a God of means. And Almighty God has declared, I'm going to bless one thing. I'm going to bless the gospel of my dear Son. Unless the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, that gospel that declares man to be spiritually impotent, unless God builds it, I'm telling you what's going to come to every place that the gospel is not preached. Nothing but condemnation. Now write that down according to this word. There is a city. It is lively stones, the temple of God, built up a spiritual house. The scripture declares, disallowed indeed of men, that is, disapproved of, rejected by man by nature. You tell man by nature that God is sovereign, that God chose, that Christ redeemed His elect, that the Spirit of God only calls out the elect of God. And they'll say, I don't believe that. It doesn't change the truth. It's still the truth. This house is built according to the Father's electing grace, the Son's redeeming grace, and the Holy Spirit's regenerating grace, keeping grace. And according to the eternal counsel and purpose of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man mediator, God who has, owns everything. The earth is the Lord's. But being made flesh, humbling himself, making himself of no reputation, Jehovah, the triunity God, one God, declared in scriptures in three persons, that which we'll never understand this side of glory, gave unto him all power that he should give eternal life, this is John 17:2, to as many as the Father has given him. Now that's the truth. All that the Father has given the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be saved. They're going to be called out. This was declared in the Old Testament. Let me just read this to you in the book of Zechariah, chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Listen to this scripture. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobijah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them on the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, now here, what was just about to be said is the declaration of what Almighty God has done in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a type. This is a ceremony that really took place. But this is what Almighty God has declared the Lord Jesus Christ shall accomplish. Behold the man who is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them and both. Who's going to build the house of the Lord? God is. All of our desires and all of our efforts, which we do, we pray, I pray. This is what God's called me to do. This is my calling. What does a pastor do? A pastor called of God preaches the gospel. Period. That's what I'm called to do. You go into all the world and you preach the gospel. He's going to build his temple. He in whom the building was chosen. He for whom the building always ever had a surety. Now, according to God's word, this house is going to be completed. You know that. The counsel of the Lord, that's going to stand. God Almighty, he's given a people, Christ has redeemed them, the Spirit of God is going to call them out. But the scripture declares something that I want us to consider for just a few minutes. There are set forth to be some exceptions to entering the kingdom of God. And these exceptions can never be bypassed. It cannot be omitted. Exceptions that unless they're met, there will be no occupancy in this temple. A temple that surely is going to be occupied. Almighty God has set forth the exceptions. Number one, unless God Almighty was pleased to elect a people unto salvation, we would have all perished. Romans 9:28, and as Isaiah said before, except, unless, had it not been for, the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Now, I know that this glorious doctrine, truth of, when I say doctrine, that's what that means, is the truth of. I know that this glorious doctrine is far from being what the world and its religion declares as total cruelty. Now, this is what man by nature thinks of election. They sneer at it. They make fun of it. They say that, election, predestination, you know. Let me ask you something. Is it declared in the Word of God? Well, if it's declared in the Word of God, then we best deal with it. Except Almighty God chose a people out of the mass of humanity, out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. When God Almighty told Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Somebody said, that's not fair. I've often said, you want to talk about fair? When Adam died in the garden, I'll tell you what fair is. God just put us all in hell. Now that's fair. My friend, we don't want fair on our part. We want God to be just and deal with our sins. Almighty God chose a people. God Almighty, not as the world says, God shutting people out. Man shut himself out. Man disobeyed God. You say, I think that God ought to give every man a chance to be saved. Man is dead unless God does something for him that he cannot do for himself. Man is going to perish. Now listen to me. Let's just get it out of our heads that we think that somehow, if God would just leave us to ourselves and let everybody think about it, maybe somebody will come to their senses. Man is not coming to his senses. He's dead. Election is the indescribable mercy of God to choose to show mercy to men and women that cannot help themselves. Election is the absolute exhibition of compassion and grace. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, one of my favorite verses, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath chosen you to salvation. We're thankful. Thank God that He chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I thank God that He showed mercy to us. Oh, I thank God for election. Oh, election. What a blessing. Except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, except there's a remnant, according to election, we're going to all die. Number two, unless Almighty God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, bear and suffer the sins of his people and make them his own, we don't have any hope. We have no hope. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane suffering the anguish and agony of being made sin. When he was in the garden, he knew he was going to die. And he knew he was going to be made sin. These words are for us. Now listen. Oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. I have had people call me on this blessed passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, and to be is in italics, so I'll just read it, for he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean? That means that hanging upon that cross in our precious substitute and Savior, he who knew no sin, who was made sin, hanging on that cross was sin. And did I tell you every time I say that with as much reverence as I can? Hanging on that cross in our blessed Savior, the Lamb of God, he bore all of the sin. He bore everything. Everything I think. Now listen, not only me, but you that know him. He bore all, every idle thought, every disrespectful word, every act of unkindness, every disrespectful word toward him in our heart that we never said or should have said. I don't even know the depth of my rebellion. I have no idea. I don't know. I had people tell me years ago, unless a man confesses all of his sins, he's going to die in those sins. Unless you repent of all your sins. I don't even have any idea what I've done or what I should have done, as I said. But I can tell you this, except he bear that, drink that cup, I don't have any hope. If he was not made sin, my sin, unless God dealt with him and satisfied the law's demand for justice, I can tell you this, I'm going to suffer the wrath of Almighty God. Except God chooses, except Christ be made sin. And number three, except a sinner have a change of heart concerning how God justifies a sinner. Except a sinner change his heart and agree with God on how God saves sinners. And it's not this way. Walking down an aisle, coming to that piece of carpet, getting in water. No, sir. Almighty God saves sinners by grace through faith in Christ, believing in Christ alone. Luke 13. I want you to just hold your place. Turn to Luke 13. Luke 13, 1 to 5. The Lord was speaking to his disciples. Luke 13, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, except you change your thinking, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent. That don't mean turn over a leaf and, you know, straighten up and fly right and, you know, I'm going to start doing church. Except you think differently. Now here's the problem with man. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Except a man thinks in his heart differently than the way that he's been born to think. Except a spiritually dead sinner, one that can of himself do nothing, except you think differently, except you think as Almighty God declares it to be, except you do that, you who are in spiritual bondage, all of us, except you repent, you're going to perish. Lord, you listen to the mercy of God here. Ezekiel 36, 26, 27. A new heart also will I give you. Lord, thank you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord keep the city. The Lord told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above. Except God do something for him that he can't do for himself. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't perceive it by faith. You can't see God calling out his people and understand what he's saying in his word. You can't see it. You don't see it. I don't see it. Except you be born again. John 3, 7 to 8. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. How can a man rebirth himself when he's dead? He can't do that. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound there, but canst not tell when it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Repentance is granted. That's what Acts 11, 18. I'll read it to you, one verse of Scripture. Acts 11, 18. The Scripture said, now as soon as it was day, there were no small stir. I'm reading the wrong Scripture. I listed it wrong. Here's what. Whenever Peter was there, I'm sure I'll find it, probably just missed it one. That's okay. You know what it was. Cornelius, a Gentile, began to speak with other tongues as Peter knew that they had done on the day of Pentecost. And he said, look, the Lord has granted repentance unto them too. Repentance, thinking differently, is granted by the Lord. It's a gift. Repentance is not something we work up. It's granted. The Lord told a group of people in John chapter 6, that which they could not do. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I tell men, according to the Scriptures, come to Christ. Cast yourself upon the mercy of the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord keeps the city, no man can. You cannot do that. It's impossible to do that. The Father chose to show mercy and compassion, yes, to unworthy sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt of all those given to him in electing grace. Oh, but unless the Spirit of God gives a new heart, gives a new spirit, draws effectually in power, makes him willing in the day of his power, he won't come. He won't come. No man can come. Fourthly, a man must be given life from above and robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:20, I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. God must choose. Christ must pay our debt. The Holy Spirit must draw us to Himself. God must robe us in holiness. Accept your righteousness. And all of us, all of us, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All of our righteousness stinks in the sight of God Almighty. We're all as an unclean thing. We start thinking that we've really done something. You know, well, whatever. It's all filth, pollution, crown of our head, sole of our foot. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Someone may say, I'm a believer because I accept the Lord. Choose. Accept the Lord. Drink the cup. Accept our righteousness. Accept the Lord. Draw. Lastly, unless a chosen, redeemed, regenerated sinner remains faithful. Faithful to the end. How faithful? As faithful as Christ. That faithful? Yeah. Except a regenerated, redeemed sinner remain faithful. Faithful to God. How? John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. Lord, don't look on me apart from your Son. Lord, don't consider any of my foolishness. Lord, thanks be unto you that you bore my guilt and you paid my debt. And for Christ's sake, that you pardon me. Lord, the only faithfulness I have is the faithful one, being found in Him. Wouldn't you hate to know that you had to stand before God and answer for your faithfulness since you believed? Oh, it's true. Once a man is converted, he's converted. And God's going to keep him. But oh, listen. How we're warned to make us realize our need of Christ. Take heed, brethren. This is what Paul said to the church at to the Hebrews, he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I've seen others leave. I've seen others that profess to know Him leave. You have too. You've seen them walk away. And they always have a good excuse too. They always have a good reason. They always give a good excuse for it. I'm telling you, if Almighty God doesn't keep us, we will not be kept. Colossians chapter 1, 21 to 23. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. if you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. Yes. God Almighty's got a city. A city of His building. A city of His keeping. And there's some exceptions to it. Except God choose. Except He drink the cup. Except He draw us. Except we find in Him faithfulness. But I am so thankful that all of the exceptions, He met them. He met them. And those exceptions that He met, God looks upon me in Christ and says of me in His Son, well done. Well done. Enter in. Enter into the kingdom that was prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Who are we? We are they who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's what you said, Fred. When I see the blood. Or don't look at me. But in Christ. Keep me, Lord. Salvation is all of grace. Paul said, oh, that I might be found in Him. I found in Him. May the Lord bless the word afresh to our heart again. For Christ's sake and our good and comfort. Amen. Okay.